Okay. This is John Young, with Gene Leishman and Canda Raven, and it's the 1st of November 2008, and I'm here with Gene to interview her and record her memories. So, Gene, if you don't mind me asking you, first of all, just for everybody's information, how old is it you actually are?
Well, my very first memory is seeing my little sister, and I was so overjoyed, and I think it seemed like the sun breaking through the sky, and I was alive. You see, I have no memory. I wasn't quite four.
Right.
There were just 20 days. She was born on the 10th of April, 1907. I was born on the 30th of April, 1903.
Right.
And I don't remember a single thing till I remember being at that bedside.
And was this in your family home?
That was at the family home in Stonehouse.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where about, what address was that, Jean? What address? What was the address?
37 Lockhart Street, Stonehouse.
And you stayed there for nearly 100 years before you moved to Candyraven?
Oh, and I can remember, I just wanted to take that wee baby. And I had my doll in my arms, and I threw the doll down, and I wanted to hold the baby.
Yes.
But I was told, you know, I would need to wait till it was a wee bit bigger.
And what's your earliest memories of your childhood, apart from the birth of your sister?
Well, then, I loved her so much. I just sat beside her cradle day after day, rocked her cradle, and looked after her. Now, I had an older sister, and she was only 16 months when I was born.
Yes.
And I think she resented her being put out of place. My mother had a little cupboard in the wall of the living room, because in these days it was open fires and sways that you could work to go down nearly into the fire,
right,
to cook.
Yes.
So, what was I going to say there?
And did you all stay in the one room, or did you stay in different rooms? Was it box beds at that time?
Yeah, I had a box bed. My mother was in the bed upstairs. But it was about the little cupboard that was in the living room. And my sister, when I was just a baby, in my cradle, she used to watch mother. As soon as she was out the room, she would turn to this wee cupboard. She filled a wee hand with oatmeal and come out and threw it about me. And my mother said, she was never done wiping away the oatmeal. She had to change her place for using it. But I was the very opposite. I was so loving and endearing to that sister of mine.
Uh-huh.
And I have a photograph here.
Is this the one here?
Mm-hmm. That's
your two sisters.
That's the three of us now.
Yes.
That's the first photograph I have of my younger sister. And her head was covered with golden hair and little tight curls.
Yes.
Oh, she was a lovely baby. So that was my first recollection.
And what did your mum and dad do?
Well,
what did they work as?
Weavers. They were both weavers.
Both weavers. And did they work at 37 Lockhart Street, or did they work elsewhere?
No, no. My dad worked in Glasgow.
Uh-huh.
And he travelled every day. You'll have seen the picture.
Yes, I've seen this one before.
That's my grandparents.
Yes.
And their children.
Yes.
Their grandchildren. And that, I think that was, well, Isabel's not there because I don't know. And that's my aunt who lived in Hill Road.
Right.
And
was she a weaver as well?
No. She was an Aberdonian.
Oh, right.
My uncle and my dad began to get a bit fed up sitting weaving on a machine.
Yes.
They wanted to get out and about, and my uncle joined the Gordon Highlanders.
Yes.
And he was stationed up at Aberdeen.
Was this before the First World War, or was this during?
Yeah, it was before the South African War.
Oh, right, before the Boer War.
And joined the Gordons. Well, he met this lady and they fell in love, and time went on, they got married. But they had no accommodation for married soldiers at that time. So the war was looming in South Africa, and he was told that he was among a lot that were going to be shipped out to the South Africa. And at this time, they were just expecting the first baby. And going down the Red Sea, the baby was born.
Yes.
But it died.
On the way.
And ship was stopped. The wee funeral service took place. So that was sad for them. Anyway, they were there till the war finished, and then they were posted to South Africa, Ceylon.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a wee baby boy, and he took a fever, a kind of fever that was common to the place where they were staying, and he died. So he was buried at Ceylon.
Very sad story. The
second child. So anyway, the war finished, and they were kept in Ceylon for quite a while, and then they come back home to Scotland, and he was discharged, you know, for the army, but was called up for the First World War in my time.
Yes.
And they got a house in New Street, in Stone House, and they had a wee girl called Kate. And she was ready for school, a bag all ready, took diphtheria and died.
Yes.
That was the third one.
Third child died.
And then Johnny, that you see in this picture.
Yes, in the photograph, yeah.
He was posted missing in the First World War, 23 years of age.
Yes.
Never heard of again. But the Heritage got me a nice thing. And there was actually on it a picture of the cemetery that he's buried in Greece. He was out in the Dardanelles.
Oh, right.
So they had a very sad life.
Yes. So what's your own memories during the First World War in Stonehouse?
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about how the village was affected during the First World War?
It was really a terrible time, because they were all my school friends were just coming up into the later teenage, now 1914. Now I would be 11.
Yes.
So just in the brink of the teenage, they were called up and they were trained, I know a lot of them never come back. I know a lady who lost her first husband, who lost her husband in the First War, and then lost her son in the Second War.
Yes.
You know, though the war had an awful feeling in people. Anyway, there was... oh, it was a great community, though. We were all very friendly. The churches worked together and formed a trust for anything that could be... any money that could be raised.
Yes.
And I was very friendly with the people who went into Dykehead Farm.
Yes.
And went there a lot. So we decided that we would get together, maybe the farm where there were young people like ourselves, and we would go out at Halloween.
Yes.
And we would sing or recite, and we would ask for, not for anything for ourselves, but something for the fund. And we raised money every year. And it was a good, and the minister used to remark about it, you know, every year that this money came in. And I remember Archie Shearer, his brothers, and there was about nine of us in this wee choir. And I don't know where I actually got the song, but he said, we'll need to have a meeting and get this song put right. And it fairly took on. It was a song. In China, oh, there once lived a man, and his name was Chuk Chuk Changarangachang. His legs were long, his feet were small, and the Chinese man couldn't walk at all. Then Chikalai Chai, Chaiku, Chikalo, Rono, Ningamingamang, Kairadari was Dai Kantai. And that was our song. And I don't know how often we went to sing it, because the farmers just loved us going in.
That's fantastic.
And it was great fun.
And what's your memories of school during that time?
Yes, the school. I've got school pictures here too.
Which school did you attend?
Well, the first school was where the Masonic Hall is now.
In Greenside.
Greenside School. And I don't remember being taken to it, but... to go back to my young sister after I was there for, or I think I would be there maybe for 3 years, and I asked one of the teachers if I could bring my wee sister someday. And she said, yes, by all means, make it a Friday and it'll be a short afternoon. So I took her up on the Friday, and by this time, all these wee curls, she had a double decker of curls around her head, and all the teacher did was take her out to the floor and count all these curls. And oh, we had a good day that day. I remember that now.
Who was your teacher?
My teacher. In charge was a Miss Boyd, who lodged, I don't know where she came from, but she lodged with the Rays up Hill Road.
Was that Dr. Ray?
No.
No.
Mrs. George Wilson was a Ray.
Right.
Well, she, that was the Rays that she lived with. And then there was Mrs. Miss Clark, who became Jimmy Plenderleith's wife. Jimmy Plenderleith was a mason by trade.
Yes.
A good builder. He and his brother built Tavenhoch.
Yes.
That was their last job. And Miss Krieg. Miss Krieg, a voice, she had a voice like a foghorn. And everybody was terrified for it when she spoke. And you know, we had an old man, Mr. Hamilton, who was the librarian. He wasn't an educated man, but he was willing to do the job. And Miss Keg was a reader, and he had it the job. Her name was Bella Craig, and he had at the top of a page, Belly Craig, B-E-L-L-Y, Belly Craig. And he says, I got to know this from somebody, and I told my friend, that was Connie Walker, who was Mrs. Walker, the fishmonger's
yes.
daughter. And she said, oh, the next time we go, we'll ask for a book.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll say, well, remember hit it, she said. So we went and we said to Mr. Hammond that we, I don't know what book it was. And he says, Bailey Keg has it. And he says, when it comes back, I'll keep it for you. And we asked, when did she get it? And of course, they had to go and look up. And here it was, Bailey Craig. So that was a great joke. The poor old man. He just wasn't educated.
Yes.
But he was a good man.
So what kind of games did you play when you were at school?
Oh, the games at school. Well, these days we could go out the front door and make beaver beds
mm-hmm.
on the road.
Yes.
And we could skip, we could play around us, because there were nothing but horses and vans, and these were few. Maybe an odd bicycle,
mm-hmm.
but there were no cars.
Yes.
I remember seeing the first car in Stonehouse going past the gate. And it was quite an occasion. Everybody was out having a look at it.
And do you remember any other sports been played in the village which are maybe not played today? Do you remember any other sports which are possibly not played today?
I used to play, after the public park was opened, you know, there was a tennis court.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
You know, play tennis. And then when I got involved with the guides, some of the guides said to me one day, how would you like to come and have a game of golf with us? Oh, I said, I haven't had any clubs, I can't do that. Oh, she said, I'll get you clubs, come on and we'll go to Lark Hall. So we golfed for a while. Mm-hmm. I got clubs of my own then.
And do you remember the curling at all? Do you remember curling taking place in the village?
I remember.
Curling, or ninepins? The men of the village, did they, what games did they play?
Oh, well, there was Wiper Wilson. He was the minister of the parish church.
Mm-hmm.
And he really was a handsome man, and a very red face, and he had grey hair, and he wore a big Inverness cape.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling when he came down the street, and he spoke to all the children. And he was really a great man for getting the money, you know, to raise. That's why I think it's a shame that the organ's not used as it is, because Wiper Wilson did an awful lot to raise the money. He went to Glasgow every week, and he went into a compartment where there was a lot of people, And he would start and talk to them, and then yes. he would tell them that they were gathering money to put into this organ in memory of the men who had given their lives.
Yes.
And he came back with money every day mm-hmm. that he went to Glasgow.
Fantastic.
Well, he was a good man that way. And of course, there was the council. And that was made up, not with people who got paid.
Yes.
That would give them the services for nothing. Mm-hmm. Mr. Anderson of Willoughby and Tom Wilson of the joiner.
Yes.
And San Borland that stayed in Angus Street. Well, a lot of good men.
And what's your earliest memories of the shops in the village?
Oh, the shops. I loved the shops. But there were six or seven bakers and maybe more butchers in these days. Mm-hmm. And we're lucky if we've one butcher now.
Yes, that's right. It's changed a lot.
Mm-hmm. And then there was always the cooperative van going around every day.
Yes.
Somehow or other, my mother didn't seem... She wanted to shop in the, among the people she knew who yes. had businesses. Mm-hmm. And we weren't members of the cooperative, but I used to go into the cooperative with some of my pals.
Yeah.
And you'd stand and wait till your name was called mm-hmm. before you could say what you wanted. Oh, and of course there was as many pubs, more
yes.
pubs than there are now. We had one opposite us, just over at the corner of Local Place.
Yes.
And my dad was working in Glasgow. And he was very friendly with a gentleman who came from Glasgow to live in Stonehouse, and he was way down beside Hugo Buttons.
Yes.
You know. So Mr. Peyton didn't know the Stonehouse people, but one night coming from the train when he came home, coming down Kirk Street, and you saw this big man lying in the road, and I thought, oh dear, this man was taking a bad turn. And he went over to him and he said, are you all right? And I just got a garbled kind of answer, and he says, where do you belong to? He says, I belong to Lizzie. That was his wife, he was a chunk. And of course, Mr. Peyton didn't know who Lizzie was, mm-hmm. but it was Cud Wilson mm-hmm. He was a great man for working for the miners.
Yes. So what was the name of the pub? Was
Royal Oak.
The Royal Oak. Mm-hmm. When did that close down? Can you remember?
Yes, it closed down just before the war.
Right.
The First War.
Yes.
And it was a place you could go for safety if the aircraft came over.
Yes.
What do you call it? It was like the... They had them underground in Glasgow.
Ah, right, like an air shelter.
Air shelter, that's what it was. Well, after that, when Stonehouse was being nominated for a new town.
Yes.
There was a gentleman from Eastcombe engaged here for looking after things.
Yes.
And I got to know him because he was across the road. And by this time, the hut that was up there was falling to bits. And I can't remember this man come over one day and he wanted something. And I was able to give it to him. And he said, well, you've done me a very good turn. He says, I would like to do one for you. Well, I said, I'll tell you what you could do. You could get rid of that place across the road and make a nice garden there. And he thought that was quite a good idea. So he did it, but it was no time and made a nice garden. With no time till somebody came and wanted the ground for a house.
Right.
So then that finished the garden.
Okay. Do you remember the opening of the public park in Stonehouse?
Hmm.
Do you remember the opening of the public park?
Oh, yes, I remember Mr. Wilson going down this big chute. he opened the chute.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the park was a great asset.
It was very popular when you were younger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Stonehouse is a great, I have a great love for it. My dad was born in Stonehouse. So there's a building just at the side of Paterson Church.
Yes.
On the way along. He was born there. And then his father bought this house in New Street, and it had six looms in it. So he had six workers.
Yes.
Coming every day to weave. You know, you'll have seen the picture that the Heritage gave me.
This is a photograph of yourself with the...
Aye, that's it.
...the woven material here.
Mm-hmm. And that's a thing in the back that I put on it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. The detail in the cloth is mm-hmm. incredible.
Oh, it was lovely. And Johnny Bruce was a great man. He was the gravedigger. He was a lamplighter. He looked after the public hall. And after the park was formed, Johnny was the head man in the
yes.
park. I remember it. There was something on, I think it was one of the coronations, and there were... what they call them, lights going up.
Right.
And every time one bust, you know, and the lights and the things were going all over the place.
Just the
good
fireworks.
Old Johnny, good old Johnny.
Yeah.
But I tell you a story. He was planting in the park one day. And we had a very nice lady here, and she was a district nurse. So this day, it was her day off, and she was doing a wee bit of shopping, and she thought, I'll just walk through the park, for she stayed in the counter houses up there in Strafen Road. And Johnny was working away, but he heard the footsteps. And he turned and had a look, but I didn't know who it was. So he just went on planting. And when she reached him, she said, good morning, Mr. Bruce. And he looked up. Oh, nurse, he says, I didn't care you with your clothes on. She didn't have a uniform on. Oh, Stonehouse was full of awful nice people.
And full of characters as well.
Characters.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there were a lot of characters in Stonehouse. I remember there was a woman in Hill Road, And she just got called Jenny Doot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what her name was. And John Murray, that you wrote to, his mother was out collecting one day. It would be for the church or for a charity. But anyway, she went to this woman's store and she got something. And Mrs. Murray, she was an incomer, she didn't know Stonehouse people. And she says, "Thank you, Miss Dot." And the woman looked at her, she says, "Oh, you've come to the wrong house." these are all characters.
So what was your first job when you left school?
Well, my first job, I was always doing jobs. My uncle was the secretary of the Shepherds Society. It was a benefit society, sick benefit. And he had people that he paid out every Saturday a certain amount of money from the Shepherds Fund. And he didn't like going to the door of the women. He went to the men and he asked me if I would give my Saturday afternoon to go and to see the women and pay them out. So that was really the first job I ever did. I got about 7 shillings a quarter for it. And it helped a lot. In these days. And, well, my first job really was at Galloway and McLeod's.
Right.
And it was down at the mill.
Yes.
And it was handy. I owed on to walk from Walker Street down to the mill and back up. And I was with them for about 3 years. That was when Galloway and McLeod took over.
Yes.
And then they come up to what was the old parish church.
Yes.
I was with them there for a wee while. And then they had quite a bad time. The money wasn't coming in. And they were finding it hard. So Mrs. McLeod, she was a teacher. She didn't know anything much about business. But she said to me, she said, "I think I'm going to take over and save at least one salary every week. And she said, "Would you just leave me for a month or so? But if you can find a job, take it. Because," she says, "I'll maybe get better at what I want to do. But," she said, "if not, I'll come back to you."
Mm-hmm.
"And you'll come back to us." "All right," I said, "I'll do that." Well, that year my dad died. And the wife of my dad's best man came up to see mother. And at this time, I was on the dole because I had no job and I hadn't got another one. And she said, "How would you like to work in Glasgow?" Well, I said I would work anywhere as long as I got work. She said, "Well, I have a niece whose husband has a business and I know that his head bookkeeper is leaving, she's retiring." She says, "I'll speak to him." So he sent for me and I was there for quite a number of years.
Yes.
And then I came home one day And Mother said to me, I've heard Mr. Naismith from the Hamilton Advertiser.
Right.
Lived out the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming tomorrow morning to take you down to the office because there's a post there that he wants you to have.
Mm-hmm.
I was very friendly with the Naismiths because Mrs. Naismith came to me one night and she said, I've had a letter from the guide headquarters asking if I would organise a committee for the management of a guide company in Stonehouse.
Yes.
Now she says, I need a secretary, and if you would be my secretary, I'll take it. But if you're not going to take it, she says, I'll not touch you either.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't know the people.
Yes.
Oh, but I said, Mrs. Naismith, I've always wanted to be a guide and we didn't have any guides.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be delighted. So I'm the only member, I drew up all the people I thought would be interested, ministers' wives and a doctor's wife, business people. And we had a lovely committee. So I still have my interest in the guides yet. And I still was very, very friendly with the MacLeods.
Yes.
All the MacLeods, I've been very friendly with them.
Mm.
Throughout my life.
So
I've had a lot of ups and downs, but I was 40 years with the Advertiser.
And was that during the Second World War as well?
Mm-hmm.
What's your memories of during the Second World War? What was the difference in the village between that and the First World War?
Well, of course, there was a time that you had to have a blackout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no light whatever had to be seen from your window or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't very pleasant being out and away on a dark winter night, maybe meeting a drunk man or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hated it. But I was kept very busy I organised a savings group here, and I also organised one in the Advertiser. And a year or two after, the BBC came out to see me and asked if I would consider writing something about my work with the savings, and then it would be broadcast.
Yes.
And I said, oh yes, I would. So I looked that out too, John.
Oh, good.
Lying here.
I'll maybe have a wee look at that later, if that's okay. I'm sure it's there. And do you remember the evacuees at all coming out from Glasgow?
I see, I have no eyes, I can't see. Let's see if I can get it. That's my mum and dad.
Yes.
I see this is it.
All right.
Well, I earned a guinea a minute.
Yes.
For this, I got 3 guineas. I had to go in and read it over. I had to write it.
Yes.
And let them see it.
So you were interviewed for the radio?
They never changed it.
Right.
And I went in one day, and that was by arrangement, and put it over the radio just
yes.
before the news, And then I did another one later on. But I didn't need to go in because I had to go in and put it on the tape. But it was recorded.
Yes.
I didn't see it myself, but I spoke that one myself. And a whole lot of people, even from London, I had one or two people wrote to me and said they were so surprised when they heard. You see, they said that it was something about savings.
Yes.
And who it was that was at the microphone, and people who knew me, they wrote.
Yes.
It was a great thing.
And do you remember the evacuees coming out from Glasgow during the war?
Yes.
The evacuees, the children from Glasgow, do you remember them?
Oh, yes, the evacuees.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have any because in the beginning, we didn't have a big enough house.
And did they stay on the farms mostly?
It was a long time. I remember coming down New Street one night and somebody hit my shoulder passing, and I don't know yet who it was. You couldn't see anybody, it was black dark.
Yes.
And there were no lampposts lit and there were no lights being shown out of any windows. It was black, and I was really terrified. And it was only about 6 o'clock, but everything was all right.
And do you remember the victory celebrations when the war ended? What was the village like then?
Oh, they were very, very... They were in two minds because there were so many of them, so sad.
Yes.
And others were so happy because it was all over. And the people who had lost their dear ones, their hearts were broken. Mm-hmm. It was a very sad time, really.
And what's your fondest memories of your youth? Your fondest memories? What's your best memories of your youth when you were a child in Stonehenge?
My best memories... I think it was with my dad. He used to take us down every Saturday in the summer. That was a good Saturday. And there was a wee shop opposite me. And we got a bottle of lemonade and we got some biscuits. And he took us way down to the Avon. There was a big flat stone.
Yes.
Way down. Near the meeting of the waters.
Yes.
And he used to say, "Now listen to the birds." And he would tell us, the birds tell us who they were. And on a Sunday afternoon, he took us away up to the cotton cockle tree.
Yes.
In
Carlisle Road.
Down the Mill Bray and up the Mother Bray onto the main road, up to the cotton cockle tree and returned. Then we come right back to the low toll. They took us into a wee shop there and we got a glass of lemonade. Mm-hmm. And then we come home and had our tea. Mm-hmm. And then my grandfather, who was presenter for 49 and a half years in Hamilton Memorial Church. He and my grandmother always came down a Sunday night for the tea.
Mm-hmm.
And after the tea, out came the modulator.
Mm-hmm.
And we were taught, my grandfather taught us remedio, all these side bits. And then we sang. And this was on the Sunday evening. Oh, these were happy, happy days. Mm-hmm. Very happy childhood.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Well, I'm going to end the interview this now, Jean, to give you a rest, because you've been talking for nearly an hour. I think it's fantastic, the memories you've got there. But I'll stop this now, and what we'll do is we'll meet again to discuss your memories of Stonehouse. But thank you very much.